Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are bold. See, the righteous shall be bold as a lion.
Yes.
Come to his presence with joyfulness and with gladness. Enter his court with praise.
Amen.
And to know into the presence with thanksgiving. Come boldly to the throne of grace.
Yes.
Wherein our Lord Jesus Christ and enter into heaven itself, having obtained for us eternal redemption. Father, we thank thee, O Lord, and I say we can always come boldly 24/7 in the name of the Lord, omnipresent, no matter where we are,
yes,
on the wheel, driving, we can talk to him.
Amen.
But David say, I will sing aloud upon my bed.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
He said, at midnight I will arise and call upon the name of the Lord. Omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient.
Yes,
blessed be the glorious name, O Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the gathering around your word this morning.
Amen.
We understand through faith, the words were framed by the word of God.
Yes.
And all things were made by him.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the word of God.
Amen.
So we are glad to be here this morning around this word.
Amen.
Unto you, Lord, shall the gathering of your people
Amen.
Be Jesus Christ the Lord. So Lord, as we read this morning, we just trust you. And that the Holy Spirit will give us a better understanding. No, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This word of God is a way within a way.
Yes.
Even the angels who have been with you for years of years don't even understand it all.
Amen.
Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Each time we come sincerely before you, there will be new revelation.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Even so, do for us this morning, Father. And let it be mixed with faith
Amen.
In our life, Lord. And Lord, to be profitable for us in the days to come.
Yes,
grant it, Father.
Amen.
We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we glorify your name again.
Yes.
We worship you, Lord. So, this morning, by the grace of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, during his ministry, he spent a lot of the time delivering the people. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But maybe 3/4 of his time casting out devils and healing the sick. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Anyway, and part of the answer the Lord gave the disciples to the question they asked him, why couldn't they cast out a deaf and a dumb spirit? He has gone to the Mount of Transfiguration with the three of them, and left the nine of them. Peter, John, and James, went with him. The inner circle, they went with him to the Mount of Transfiguration. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And while he was there, so this man had a child that is demon possessed, deaf and dumb spirit. And they brought it to the other disciple that and said they couldn't cast him out. So when the man was desperate, when the Lord came down from the mount, and the man was desperate. He didn't give up. He wants his child delivered. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Martha. While you were away, I brought my boy to your disciples. This demon possessed and so on. They throw in the fire and to the water. And they couldn't cast him out. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. How long will I be with you? Rebuke the man. The man didn't go away. So anyway, eventually, bring your boy. I will deliver him. Praise the Lord. So then, of course, he delivered him and everything. So then the disciples know, and when they now come to him, really, Lord, in Matthew 17:20, and they ask him, why could we cast him out, Lord? Here is the Lord's answer. Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and he shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Telling the disciples, right? And that's what he told them. I didn't read the 19th verse and so on, that because he said, this kind of so on. We'll come to that. Well, so, another situation, normally when he comes to Jerusalem area, he always goes to Bethany in the house of his friend Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, So, one day, I think he was coming back in the morning, and he made this fig tree. He was hungry. The Bible says he was hungry. Praise the Lord. The Creator was hungry, right? He is the Almighty. Praise the Lord. And there was nothing on that tree. And the Bible says he caused it. Then, of course, when they were coming the next day, You know, he just said, no man eat of this henceforth. What is it that happened when he said that? Then the next day they were coming, then Peter noticed, oh master, the fig tree you caught has dried up. Then the Lord said this one in Matthew 21:21, as if to emphasize the truth about the cast out of that devil, what he told them. So, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. It shall be done. Tell the disciples, right? The Lord never monopolized power, amen? He never did. Praise the Lord. Unlike many people are mad, so that he's God and so on. Anyway, so let's take it from there. Two instances. The Lord said, nothing shall be impossible unto you and so on like that. You know, we're talking about faith, right? So mountains mean many things in the Bible. It can mean the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Like, of course, the book of Daniel. You don't want to go in there because of time. Anyway, it can mean the kingdom of God. I think like that, you know. Anyway, so, but this morning, mountains are also used in scripture, among other things, to represent massive difficulties and seeming impossibilities to people, even to the children of God, you know. And the Lord taught in these two cases I mentioned, as he taught, we can overcome these mountains. We can overcome these difficulties and seeming impossibilities by giving the command of faith. Amen? Giving the command of faith. This morning, the command of faith. Praise the Lord. The command of faith. So there are some mountains or difficulties that God permits along your way as a Christian. These are meant by God to bless us. They are intended for our spiritual good when God allows them to come your way and my way. See? Now, they may slow you down, so to say, spiritually, you think, you know, but they will build your spiritual muscle. They will strengthen your faith and they develop your skill in prayer as you learn to prevail until God's answer comes. Don't give up now on the way. He has permitted these difficulties to temporarily kind of block your way, so to say. He will teach you deep spiritual secrets as you face them, persevering in prayer. At times, you may grow weary, you know, as you pray. But at the proper time, I mean God's perfect time, and talking of God's perfect time, you will reap if you do not faint. Amen?
Amen.
And we are told in Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Praise the Lord. Don't give up halfway if you have been tested and so on. The Lord will permit those things, you know. They come to all of us, you know. Don't give up in the middle. So God's clocks keep perfect time. God is never early and he is never late. His schedule is always perfect. See? The outcome will be as his word declared in Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Praise the Lord. That has to be the outcome as you just go through and wait on him and let him guide you through whatever difficulty you are to come your way. You see, his time is always perfect. You know, it doesn't come too late. He'll be right there on time. And the outcome will be that he will make everything or has made everything beautiful in his time. Trust the Lord always. He knows what he is doing. He is the Almighty. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. At times, anytime, you may be sure of this fact, that when God permits a mountain to block you from reaching his destination, he gives you a destination, right? And yet he permits a mountain to be in your way. Be sure, he is preparing a miracle, amen? Praise the Lord. That is, God, God turns all his mountains into roads. I think Jeremiah said it in one place. Mountain will become roads for you and so, because it permits to come your way. Now, Satan, of course, often erects roadblocks, which become mountains, you know, banning you on your way. The longer you pray about these mountains, the more convinced you will become that the delay is not of God. See, you won't know initially, you just be praying and praying, but as you pray, you come to know at one time that this delay in what you are believing God for, is not of God. Satan and his forces block your way in an attempt to hinder the work of God and dishonor the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan may be able to delay you for some time, And the scripture even shows that he repeatedly prevented the Apostle Paul reaching Thessalonica. That is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, reading this way. Wherefore, he told them, the church in that place, we will have a come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, meaning many, many times, right? Once and again. But Satan hindered us. So when you are Satan blocking your way and some don't think you are alone, you see, God permit this sometimes and so on. But eventually we notice that in Acts 21 to 2, I'm going to read that for time, Paul eventually get to Greece anyway and minister there. So we know that. So God has even permit Satan to delay you, because God wants to work out some higher purpose in your life. Praise the Lord. That's why he allow it, not for nothing, but rest assured, God does not want Satan to stop you altogether. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Keep on marching on in the Lord's order and direction and so on. God wants you to to move the mountain, like in the two cases we talked to the disciples, move the mountain. He does not want you to abandon the place he gave you or the advanced steps he pointed out to you. He said, go this road, and you are going there. You made a roadblock, let them put it there. Not to turn back from that road, you stay right there, amen? Trusting the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, there are demonic mountains, which are not God's, which are not God's mountains. They are to be moved by the commands of faith. This money are called commanding faith, right? The command of faith is what does it mean? It means exercising Christ's authority. That it means. That's what this money, the command of faith, meaning exercising God's authority that has given to you and I, Christ's authority. This truth is taught in the Bible in two ways, either by using a symbol or by example. God wants his children to use the authority he has given them. So let us begin to see some of them by symbol or by command. Let's see some of them in the Bible and so on. See? Command of faith. The staff of Moses was a symbol of the authority as the representative of God to Pharaoh. During Moses' conflict with the demonic powers behind the magicians, and gods of Egypt, Moses sometimes prayed to God. At other times, he was told merely to use his staff, right? Symbolically and so forth, because of time, I can't read all of this scripture here, but in the 7 to 10 chapters of the book of Exodus, God told Moses these things. I just paraphrase them. God told him, stretch out your staff, and when he did, strike the water of the Nile, and the water turned into blood. At another time, God said to him, stretch out your staff, and the frogs came to Egypt. Again, stretch out his hand and strike the dust with his staff, and the dust turned into lice all over Egypt. At another time, stretch out your hand, Moses, towards the sky, and the huge hailstones came down and fell again over Egypt and so forth. At another time, stretch out your hand, Moses, and the locusts came and devastated the land of Egypt. At another time, stretch out your hand, and for 3 days and nights there was darkness all over Egypt, only in Goshen, where the Jews were, but there was no darkness. Praise the Lord. Symbolically, about the rod God gave us, all that, you know, talking about the command in faith. And of course, more of this, when Israel came to the Red Sea, Moses began to pray. The Lord rebuked him. Exodus 14:15, talking about the command being faith, you know, the command of faith, right? 14:15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore cast thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, give the commanding faith, right? Speak to them, and you know, that they know that, you know, speak to the children of Israel, and you know, they to go forward, just go forward, to them, speak to them. Verse 16 says, but lift thou up thy rod, the symbol, right, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. My God told Moses to divide the sea. Praise the Lord. You can do it, Moses. Praise the Lord. But you see what happened later. When God tells you to do something, it is in you who will actually get it done. Amen? Mm-hmm. As I'm going to see right now. So don't be scared. When I say God will do those things, he already told you, apart from me, you can do nothing, right? John 15, I believe it is. Praise the Lord. And it's all over the Bible. You know, so anyway, we must divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. But watch out in verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. Watch now. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong wind all night. But Moses had to divide the sea, right? But God is the one that eventually did it. Amen. It is him in us. Praise the Lord. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We are co-laborers together with him. Amen? Amen. We speak the word, he executes it. Yes. You know, in Mark 16:20, I believe it is. And they went preaching everywhere. And the Lord went with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. They do the speaking, the Lord do the execution. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The same thing today. You know, we are his mouthpiece. Praise the Lord. Get out to speak the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Commanding faith. Command of faith. Anyway, so, and the Lord, Bible says the Lord caused the sea to go back and, you know, a strong wind in this wind, and so all the night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Praise the Lord Jesus. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, even as he told Moses to command them. Now, the lesson is that, the lesson in this thing, they are called continued prayer. Sometimes indicates a lack of faith. Amen? Just keep on praying, and so on, that, you know. God wants us to give the command of faith and go forward. In many cases, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Moses, you've been to the, you've been coming from, you know, from, you know, from the, all that way, you came all the way from the land of the Midians and so on. You met me in the back of the center. I'll show you the signs and wonders and so on. You pray about it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen? Give the command of faith and so on. Elijah, let's go now. Coming by the command of faith, huh? Elijah, a familiar story, was a mighty man of prayer. But there were times when he was led to use the command of faith. Such was the case when he was sent to the widow of Zarephath, who was there to sustain him through the rest of the drought, which he himself caused to come upon the land of Israel and so forth. In 1 Kings 17:13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do, you know the story, I just want to call the necessary part. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. Just as a reminder, when Elijah got there and met her, go and get me a little cup of water, okay, as he was going, make a little cake too. The woman said, look, I can't do it. You know, as you see me here now, I'm running 2 sticks, you know, to make, you know, some cake, the last cake we have, and for me and my son, and we eat it and die. Yeah, this man said, just go and make for me anyway. And so you see, now commanding faith, right? For thus said the Lord, God of Israel, the barrel of me shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of all fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. See, commanding faith. And verse 16, and the barrel of me, wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which is spake by Elijah. Praise the Lord. He wasn't praying. Mm-mm. Not this time around. The commanding faith. Praise the Lord. Not all the time we pray. And we're going to talk more about that now. By the grace of God and so on. When to give the commanding faith. And when not to. See. Now. This same Elijah. You know. Ahaziah. The son of Ahab and Jezebel. Was a king of. You know. In the northern kingdom. King of Israel and so forth. Instead of asking of the Lord, he fell down from the lattice from his, you know, in the south and broke his feet or something like that, you know. And he sent his messenger to go and, you know, inquire of the, you know, Beelzebub, the king, I mean, the God of Ekron and so on like that, you know. And God, of course, sent Elijah the Tishbite. Go meet him. Is there no God in Israel that you are sent to go and inquire the, you know, the Beelzebub, the God, you know, the God of Ekron? And here is what Elijah said, and of course he met him and so on, and then his messengers and so on, and he sent them back and so on, that go tell him, you know, he will not come back on that bed, he will die. Praise the Lord. And then this Ahaziah king and so on, wicked as Jezebel as his mother, you know, send the first, you know, his captain of 50s and so on to go and meet Elijah and so forth. Now. You see, one of them is in 2 Kings 1:10. Then, to the very proud captain of Ahaziah, here is what Elijah said. If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee under 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Praise the Lord. To the third one, anyway, quickly learn his lesson and humble himself. Praise the Lord. The point I'm making is this. When, Elijah saw this person, you know, and the captain of his 50, he wasn't praying. You know? He just gave the command of faith. Praise the Lord. And this case was judgmental. Praise the Lord. Anyway, see, command of faith. Now, this same Elijah, at the time of his transmission, and with his, the one that poured water in his arm, by the name of Elisha. Praise the Lord. And, they reached Jordan and the Jordan River. And at that time, Elijah wasn't asking for a boat. Wasn't asking for the next ship coming across Jordan. Maybe that was even wrong. He didn't pray either. We know the story, 2 Kings 2:8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither so that the two went over on dry ground as it was in the Red Sea, right? The same God, the same supernatural God. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, he wasn't praying when he got there, you know. That time to pray, that time to give the command of faith, you know, or a symbol. And something like that, you know. Of course, when Elisha returned after Elijah has been transferred to heaven, the shadows of fire, he also came back to the Jordan. And did the same thing, you know, in 2 Kings 2:14. He didn't want to lower he has received a double portion, right? Why couldn't he follow Elijah's example, right? Praise the Lord. After all, he had a double portion now. Anyway, 2 Kings 2:14. And he took the mantle of Elisha that fell from him and smote the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had a smitten the waters, the parted thither and thither, and Elisha went over. Praise the Lord. See? So, commanding faith could be by a symbol that God gave you, like the rod of Moses, or maybe the mantle of Elijah. Commanding faith can go that way and some of that, you know. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ repeatedly demonstrated and used the command of faith throughout his ministry. Let's speak a few of them for time. The marriage at the Cana of Galilee in the book of You know, in John chapter 2, I believe it is, you know. And you know the story there, you know, and the scene, you know, where the first miracle, you know, where he turned water into wine. He didn't pray. He simply said in John 2, 7 to 8, fill the water pots with water. Draw out now. And dear unto the governor of the field. He didn't pray. He gave the command of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And you know the story, you know, what I was done to one and so on that, you know. So you know the story. Now, to the 10 lepers in Luke 17, verse 14, he didn't pray. He said unto them, go show yourself unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. The command of faith, right? In Matthew 9:28-30, to the two blind men that followed him into the house, if you read the verses carefully, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, to thy faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. Praise the Lord. Amen. Command of faith, you know. Now, I talk to you, the foul spirit that had long tormented the lad. The Lord said in Mark 9:25-26, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him so, and came out of him. So command of faith. At the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5, where you had him having the five porches right there and so on, a certain man, you know, in John 5:5, a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Jesus, in verse 8, said unto him, he didn't pray for him, rise, take off thy bed and walk. Verse 19, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Praise the Lord. Talking about command of faith, right? He didn't pray. He did all this praying on the Mount of Olives, always the time. Praise the Lord. When it comes to the action that he had to exercise faith, he just be the command of faith and so like that, you know. Of course, even more, all of his ministry. To the dead only son of a widow at the city of Lain. In Luke 7:14, he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Command of faith, right? He didn't pray. He wasn't praying for that dead person, you know, and something like that, you know. Praise the Lord. In Mark 4:37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. The storm didn't bother him, you know? Praise the Lord. He's the creator of the storm, right? Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, and asleep. And I woke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm in me. Praise the Lord Jesus. And you know what? And of course, I didn't put it on. There was, what manner of man is this? That even the winds obey him, commanding faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't forget, each time he tell you, if you have faith, you can do the same thing. Praise the Lord in my name. Praise the Lord. Well, now, let's just, if you continue on what he did, we're going to spend the whole day doing that, command of faith in his ministry. So, is it only Christ alone? How about the apostles that he chose, you know? Now, the apostles also practice the command of faith. Let's take Peter, for example. And so, to the man lame from his mother's womb, begging at the beautiful gate of the temple, Peter commanded saying in Acts 3:6, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand, right hand, and lifted him up, and immediately, always know the word immediately in all the cases, even the Lord himself as well, immediately, so that you know, his feet and ankle bones are received strength. And he leaping up stood there and walked there and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Praise the Lord. Never walk all his life, always a beggar and so. But the command of faith, this even pray, praise the Lord Jesus. Saint Peter in the city of Lydda, to one Ananias is called, he was called, who had been paralyzed for 8 whole years. In Acts 9:34, Peter said unto him, "Ananias, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed." And he arose immediately. The word immediately, right? God's word is quicker and powerful, amen? Sharper than any two-edged sword. Dividing even as far as the bone and the marrow. It's a discerner of the intent of the heart. Praise the Lord. Whether Peter spoke it or any of us spoke it and so on in faith, you do the same thing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Command of faith. He didn't pray. Even that man didn't even ask Peter anything. At the beautiful gate, the crippled man asked begging for money, right? But he didn't ask anything. He was inspired to speak the command of faith. The whole city was converted. If you read the rest of the book of Acts right there. Praise the Lord. Now, see Saint Peter, Tabitha, or Dorcas if you want, lay dead at Joppa, a faithful disciple of the Lord and so on. And the disciples now heard that Peter was at Lydda, and they sent for Peter. Who was he at Lydda? In Acts 9:40, Peter kneeled down when he got there, Peter kneeled down in Acts 9:40, and prayed. Now that's fine. And turning him to the body, now gave the command of faith, said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when he saw Peter, she sat up. Praise the Lord. What a faith they had in the early church. Peter was a leader and so on. This is how they show the beautiful work he did and so on like that, And they have to go and get Peter to come and pray. Anyway, so we see right there, command of faith, right? How about Apostle Paul, to warn Elimas, the sorcerer, seeking to turn away a deputy, from the faith. Paul said in Acts 13:11, "Thou shalt be blind," a judgmental command of faith, right? "Thou shalt be blind, not seeing no sun for a season." Watch again. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And this same Paul again, to a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb. Look at these cases. The man at the beautiful gate was, from his mother's womb, right? The same thing, So the same thing happened here, from the mother's womb, cripple from the mother's womb, who never had walked. In Acts 14:10, that's what Paul said, with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet," command of faith, right? And he leaped and he walked. Praise the Lord. Command of faith. To the demon enslaved girl at Philippi, in Acts 16:18, Paul said to the spirit, not to the girl. Sometimes minister don't know what I'm talking about. Right? He didn't speak to the girl. He speak to the spirit, in Acts 16:18. "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her," and he came out the same hour. Praise the Lord. Command of faith, isn't it? Amen. Now that we talk about them, is it limited to them? No. To us too. This thing pertains to all of God's children. So you and I, when should we use the command of faith? Now, let us know. The command of faith is not an optional spiritual power that we may use at will to make life easier for us, or to remove all our trials, or to even vent out spite on the devil. So not that case, you know. Even that girl in Acts 16 that Paul, you know, that Paul, you know, deliver spirit of devil divination and so on. Yeah, she had followed them for many, many days, right? Paul wasn't moved upon. You can't just turn this thing on and off, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. How many people make that mistake, right? So what we got to cut to that after that. Anyway, so you know, it is a no, so this thing, it is a very deliberate exercise of Christ's own authority and name in a situation where his glory is at a stake, where his kingdom is being hindered, or where Christ calls us to demonstrate his power to prove that he is a living God. Amen? Amen. These are the situations when begin to name where we can freely use this command of faith and so on. The command of faith is not an alternative to prayer. Even when Peter prayed and the Dorcas to raise the Dorcas up now, then he eventually gave the command of faith, right? So anyway, this command of faith is an additional step of obedience, which normally grows out of prevailing prayer or prayer warfare. So, in an emergency, of course, we may not have enough time for protracted prayer, but must call instantly on the Lord's name. Yeah, you can do that at time when you are in an emergency and something like that, you know. And give the command of faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Normally, however, the command of faith is an element of offensive prayer and warfare as we invade Satan's territory, attack Satan's roadblocks, or even confront satanic resistance. Yes. And here are some examples of occasions when God may lead us to use the command of faith. And you can pick them from the one we have been talking about. To command Satan to stop any of his acts of oppression against people. Yes, God will permit us to use the command of faith. We see it in Paul, who was trying, the man trying to stop the deputy, the policeman, or whatever, from believing the gospel. God will lead you. That kind of thing, you know. So that's one instance. To command illness to depart, like we see Peter did for Aeneas, right? So he had instances. In these cases, God is glorified, right? Or that is the bottom line is, it will be to the glory of God, the advancement of the kingdom of God, not for our personal gain. Praise the Lord. That's it. Another way is that we can help us is to command the enemy to cease for a period of time, if need be. Praise the Lord. Yes. Now, so don't just jump up without divine inspiration or without a divine, purpose. Eh? Praise the Lord Jesus. No, we're not magicians. Praise the Lord. And the magician wants to make a show, you know. Even the Lord, when he has healed them, don't tell any man. Never did they will still go and broadcast it anyway. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So now, who can give the command of faith? Is it only just Peter and John? Or the Lord only? Not really. So, so you as a child of God can give the command of faith. Amen?
Amen.
You need not be a super saint to give the command of faith. You not have been in the faith for 50 years. You can be born again yesterday and so on, and you can be inspired to give the command of faith. Praise the Lord. It is to all of God's children, all Christians and so forth. And, so don't let the devil convince you that you have no power or the right to use the command of faith that God has ordained for all of his children. The Lord's teaching on the command of faith is so clear that he should hold the same place in the life of every believer, even as ordinary prayer does. Don't forget this. The Lord has told you and I, John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Praise the Lord. That's including you as a believer, right? As a believer and something like that, you know. Yeah. He said more greater work than this, right? That's John 14:12, right? Where we want to clarify that some of the time. how can you do greater work than Jesus did? What kind of miracle? Is it the dead to raise the dead? One was dead for 4 days, right? So we think that he's talking about the quantity, not so much of the quality. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. And in a sense, you know, he was just constraining himself to one place in that time, but now Christians are all over the world, amen? Praise the Lord. So greater work. So you are involved. It's your right. The Lord gave you to do the and give the command of faith. If you meet the criteria that we lay out before, and even more. Now, prerequisites for you say the command of faith. You now know that it's our it's our privilege given to us of Christ. So in succinctly said, the prerequisites are very, very simple. Anybody again Christians has the authority to use the Lord's name in prayer and praise and give it the command of faith. Praise the Lord. So nobody is left out at all. I just told you about John 14:12 now. So another thing is this. To use this command, you must have, in your life, nothing grieving the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I will expatiate. In Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit for anything, really. Why? The authority to give the command of faith is executed under the supervision of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Not you alone. Like I said before, your lips will speak the words, but the Holy Spirit actually enforces them over Satan, his demons, and whatever else must yield to God. An example is this. When Paul pronounced that judgment upon Elima the sorcerer in Acts 13:9, the Bible says, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eye on him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the command is given under the unction of the Holy Spirit to work. You speak the word, the Holy Ghost, right? You know, execute it. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's how it works. So, you know, so. Now, another thing is this. What can hinder a Christian to make your command of faith ineffective? If you have a hidden unforgiveness or some other sin in the heart, that will hinder the Spirit's help when you start to give the command of faith. Praise the Lord. So the thing is this then, because even David knew the secret. Psalm 66 verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Many Christians don't remember that, right? You know, so otherwise, no Christian will ever harbor any anger against anybody, amen? If they know this thing, you know, don't want to try to be hindered, right? So we want to be careful. Now, another thing is this. Your command of faith must be in harmony with the will of God, amen?
Amen.
I'm repeating myself now in another way. What you are giving command of faith must be in harmony with the revealed will of God. You know, you must not attempt to use the power of the command of faith for selfish ends. As a member of Christ's kingdom, you may reap the benefits anyway, but your goal must be to glorify God and advance His kingdom. The only exception is this. If you are in an emergency, right? When your safety is threatened, you and your body belong to Christ, right? Bible says we are not our own, right? Even the body is for the Lord, right? Yes, I believe God will allow you at that time. You are free to use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to protect yourself from imminent danger. Praise the Lord. God will hear that command of faith because the body, even your body is the Lord and so on. That. You know, you are only a caretaker of this body. Belong to the Lord. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, how do you prepare yourself, I mean your heart really, for more effective commands? I believe each of us, one time or the other, have given these commands and they worked, right? So, but how do you really prepare yourself for more of that, to be more inquisitive as God will lead you? How do we do it? Number one, be filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18, towards the end, say, be filled with the Spirit. So the greatest spiritual potential can only be obtained when one is filled with the Spirit. This experience, meaning, I mean, giving the command of faith, demands total commitment of self to God, trusting him to fulfill his promise. See? So as you continue to live in the spirit, you can be refilled again and again. Some believers, oh, just filled with the Holy Ghost, that's it. No. You have to keep on getting refilled. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why even Ephesians 5:18, the Ephesian church began with the Holy Ghost, right? It began in Acts chapter 19. Paul walking through the upper court of Ephesus. Some disciples, about 12 of them, there are 12 of them. And we ask them, have you received the Holy Ghost if you believe? Praise the Lord. We don't even know there be any Holy Ghost. Unto them, are you baptized? Say unto John, oh, that you know, have to be baptized. Praise the Lord. Some people don't even think that is important. This is the land. He baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 19, right? And the Bible says at the beginning of the chapter, then he laid hand on them, and all the 12 of them received the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Then, I don't know how many years later, in Ephesians 5, I mean, not yet be filled with the Spirit, right? We are saying that, yes, the initial practice of the Holy Ghost, that's it. But all the time, you have to be refilled and be refilled. Praise the Lord. Even Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit, right? And so anyway, so the criteria of getting yourself to effective, giving the commands of faith and so on, that you know. So anyway, so we see right there, be filled with the Holy Spirit and so on. So as you continue to live in the Spirit, you can be refilled again and again. So to be instantly ready to give the command of faith require daily living in the fullness of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Peter was unprepared when he saw Aeneas. Was he prepared? No. Praise the Lord. But I know he was walking in the Spirit, right? Praise the Lord. And these are examples for us, you know, to follow and so on. So anyway, so we see that one there. Now, I'm not to do this. Don't try to pretend. So you have a difficulty before you, right? So, any digression here. Don't try to pretend that the difficulty you have doesn't exist. Accept the reality of the mountain and focus your attention on the nature of the obstruction. Recognize the hand of Satan behind it. Perhaps, maybe you can even use even good people whom he has deceived to cross your way, to get you out, to get you mad, and all these things and so on like that, you know. Don't always forget now, your real enemy is not flesh and blood, amen? As a Christian, your real enemy is never flesh and blood, really. But the demonic forces behind the problem. Ephesians 6 is telling us the old story, right? Which I believe we are all familiar with. So don't fear the Satan's bluff. Now, don't fear Satan's bluff. Hate him. And, you know, expect God's answer. You know, as you are led to give the command of faith. Now, another thing is this. I mean, to be always be ready for effective giving command of faith is live in the spirit of faith too. You know, don't be afraid. And you know how many times in the Bible will tell us, fear thou not, fear not, fear not, throughout the Bible. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Don't be afraid. Now, you know what? Doubt gives the devil a foothold. Do not give him that advantage. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Doubt will give Satan a foothold. In fact, the Lord told us in Luke 12:29, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Doubt will give that foothold to him. Don't do it. So get down. Don't be of a doubtful mind now. Luke 12:29, something like that, you know. God's promises are for you. They are made for you. And this Bible is a love letter to you. I always say that, you know, that they are for you. All the promises of God in there. God knows the situation you are facing better than you do. Praise the Lord. Don't think he doesn't care. He knows everything before the war began, what you are facing. He knows all about it. And so what are you doing? So always live in an attitude of expectancy. Praise the Lord. Living in the attitude of expectancy. Just waiting to see how the living God, your Father in heaven, how he's going to handle the problem for you. The mountain may take you by surprise, but you can never take God by surprise. Amen. Something just happens suddenly as if the Lord knew about it before the foundation of the world. But God is never surprised nor unprepared for to help you. Remember now, Satan has already been defeated at Calvary. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
For you and I, was he defeated? You have not only died with Christ and been risen with him, but you have also spiritually ascended with Christ, and you are now enthroned with him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Scripture, many of them. Ephesians 2:6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He didn't say we, he has done it already. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's all a mystery, isn't it? Yet it is true. Praise the Lord. Now, in Colossians 2:12, another one to tell you at the matter of two or three witnesses, right? Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. These are the things you tell the devil all the time. What you can do to me? Number one, Bible says, I'm planted in the palm of his hand. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When he was here, he said, nobody can pluck them out of my hand. Then another time, he said, no one can pluck them out of my father's hand. Amen?
Yeah.
That's why you belong. You are the apple of his eyes. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't be threatened by Satan and so I can threaten you with death and all these things. Don't tell them who you are. He is going down, you are already up. Amen?
Amen?
He's heading to the bottomless pit. Amen?
Amen?
Remind him that. And the only an angel, one of the faithful angels, who by predestination, whatever it is, you know, did not rebel with him. We put him in the bottomless pit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord has done what is to do with the devil. He has given you an authority to deal with him here on earth in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we see right here. Don't look up at your mountain with fear, whatever mountain you are facing. You know, like I said before, mountain here, any kind of difficulty, no matter how difficult it may be in your life, don't look up at your mountain with fear. Look down on it from the place where you are right now, seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Amen?
Amen.
Look down from on high. Praise God. Spiritually talking now. Praise the Lord. That's how you see the devil and so on like that, you know. Look down upon Satan, your defeated enemy, from the very throne of God, where you are already enthroned with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget, in Romans 16:20, the Lord telling you and I, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. When you face a difficulty, you can go there. Praise the Lord. God will bruise him under your feet shortly. Now rejoice, in your victory in Christ. Live in the triumph of faith. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Expect God to take charge of the situation you are facing anytime, any place, and to guide you in moving any kind of a mountain difficulty that you may face anytime, any place. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now, don't forget another thing to do. Discern the will of God. You see, I told you before, this command of faith works when it is in harmony with the will of God, right? So always discern the will of God. You need God's wisdom and guidance in dealing with the entrenched forces of Satan. Yes, many of the time we entrench around you and so on, prolong his persecution against you and so on like that, you know. So anyway, you need God's wisdom and guidance in dealing with it. You know, don't rush into battle now until God has given you his plan to attack the problem. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to give one or two scriptures in regard to that as we get to close here. Before each battle, let's take David for example. I say don't rush to anything. Seek the Lord's face first and see what plan of action he wants you to take. So David is an example of that. And, before each battle, David looked to God for fresh directions. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. And you know what? God really works in exactly the same way. People, even ministers make mistakes. Maybe God used this way one time and at one time in the past. It doesn't mean he will use you the same exact way in the future. Amen?
Amen.
He is a God of many, many diversities. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Don't tie into that one day of doing things and something like that, you know? Anyway, so let's see David. It's a familiar story for David. He taught us a great lesson. Now, the Philistines. That is in 2 Samuel 5. Now, remember, in his youth, when the Philistines come against in the days of Saul, right? You know how he defeated, you know, Goliath, right? So now, when the Philistines now hear that David has been made king, right? They now came all the way to come and see David. Let me go to that in the Bible in 2 Samuel 5:19. So they came to see David. Oh, that man has been made king now. So they came down to come and see him, maybe to come and invade and something like that, you know. So and when David had it, the Bible says he went into the hole. Praise God. He went into the bunker. I tell you, he wasn't afraid to get along with God, I believe. Praise the Lord. To see how God will lead him. Let's see what happened in 2 Samuel 5:19. And David inquired of the Lord in the bunker, in the hold, right? If you read the previous verses. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines without deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. And the Philistines came up again. So I'm still, you know, came up again and so on, and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So the second time round. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou heareth the sound of a going in the top of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so, and as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gaza. You see, we're talking about always seek the Lord for direction for each. Now, see, those Philistines is like what happened to us in daily life and so on. They are defeated one time, they come again, and they come again, amen? Praise the Lord. And the same strategy, you seek the Lord, right? And the problem will be defeated before you each time, amen? If you are not take time to seek the Lord, praise the Lord. That's why the Bible says, resist him steadfast in the faith, right? Because he will come and come and come again. But thank God, no matter how many times he comes, our job is to seek the Lord. What shall I do about it now? And he will always be submitting before you. Praise the Lord. So now, try to wrap up here. And pray until you feel, when you are confronted with anything, pray until you feel you have discerned God's way as to how to confront the problem you have. No, you are facing it. I say, don't rush into anything. Seek the Lord's face, right? No, until you discern God's way as to how to proceed to confront the mountain or difficulty, and then and when to confront the mountain and so on. As a spirit-filled believer, you have the right to God's guidance. I'm told in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Is there to guide you and I. Another scripture is even the Old Testament. As you seek the Lord, claim his promises to guide you constantly. We are told in Isaiah 58, the fasting chapter of the Bible, meaning when you are seeking the Lord, one of the things that God will do for you when you are seeking in that special way, 58:11 of Isaiah, and the Lord shall guide you continually. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think that's one of the greatest blessings one can get from the Lord, to be guided continually. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's there for you by especially seeking the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you don't know what to do, I always love it. Jehoshaphat, don't forget him. In 2 Chronicles 20:20, and something like that, you know. Come. Surprise attack, right? I say things just come back. Things you never expected out of the blue. Satan, not that kind of strategy. So, you know, and then three nations and so on with terrible army. You know the story, you know, and so on that, you know. Then he turned to the Lord. And one of his prayers is, Lord, you don't even know what to do, amen? Praise the Lord. And then of course prophecy came. You don't have your heart in this battle. Just set yourself and praise the Lord and so on that. Praise the Lord. So praise can win you any battle, any place, anytime against the devil. So that was said down in 2 Corinthians 20 as an example for us, the power of praise. Praise the Lord. And they were fasting and seeking the Lord too, you see. God guided them, right? That's the point I'm trying to make. God will guide you continually if you seek Him that way. Now, the Lord wants us to understand His way. Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, another thing to do is this. Now, as we finish up here, take a special step of faith. You saw the Lord. You have known His way now. You know, it's revealed to you and so on. Then you go ahead and take a special step of faith. After God has given you His directions, it is time to take that initiative. It is time to act upon your faith. Don't tremble before your Red Sea. Now, march across your Red Sea, on the dry land that the Lord will provide for you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Say, don't fret. No, I'm just talking now. Don't tremble before your Red Sea now, but march across it on the dry land that the Lord will provide for you. Don't falter now before your Jericho. If you know the story of Jericho and so on, Joshua and so on, march around in faith, expecting God to tell you when to give the shout of faith, the command of faith, right? And Jericho, your Jericho walls will come tumbling before you. Praise the Lord. All that is in Joshua chapter 6 and so on. I don't have time to go and read it and so on. God does not intend you or me to be passively trustful. He wants you and I to be militantly believing. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Militantly believing. Not be passive trusting and so on. But rather to be militantly believing Him and so on. He wants you to dislodge the forces of Satan from their long entrenched position. No matter how long you have been battling with him, don't give up now. No. Satan will attempt to intimidate you as long as you allow him to do it. Now it's time to lay down your barrage of prevailing prayer now, and then take the initiative and drive Satan out of his stronghold. That could be for your family, whether that could be the life of a person or a member of your family or any other kind of situation. Don't stay on the defensive. Take the offensive for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Advance, praising the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, almost there now. Let me see here. Now, give the command of faith. Speak to your mountain in Jesus' name. Take the authority the Lord has given you as His official representative. Yes, you are. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are ambassadors for Christ. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. But that way, no, let us act it out. God made us to be so. Paul said, we are what we are by the grace of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are God representative as a Christian. So, anyway, now, speak from your position with the Lord Jesus Christ on the throne. So you have prayed enough, all right? And you have determined God wants the mountain to be moved, right? You are sure it is His time, right? God has given you the steps of faith. So go forward now and speak boldly to the mountain. Command Satan to take his forces and go. You must tell Satan to go, you see, just following our Lord's example. In Matthew 16:23, get thee behind me, Satan, the Lord said. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's right. You know. And demons, if you don't know it, demons fear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Use it. Praise His name, the name of the Lord Jesus, till the demons fall into such confusion that they hinder each other. Just like the army around Jehoshaphat I talk about. See? And they were all confused. They helped destroy one another, amen? Why? They were praising God, right? Praise the Lord. Another benefit of praising God, no matter how difficult it is, amen? That's why. You see, they didn't try to fight in this battle. Praising God alone will win battles for us. Praise the Lord. Now, okay, so try to just finish up here. So, Use Jesus' name as your mighty weapon in any conflict you face. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling out of strongholds. Praise the Lord. They are to penetrate the darkness and dislodge Satan in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the command of faith. Now what we do? Now the God Zerubbabel now, if you know Zerubbabel was the governor of Judah, Zechariah 7:5-7 says, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Praise the Lord. So be God Zerubbabel in your situation and so on like that, you know. He was the governor of Judah at that time and things like that, you know. Others may flee from Goliath. I'm finishing that, the last scripture here. Others may flee from Goliath. You face him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a type of Satan, right? Be God's David in the situation. Tell Satan as David told his son, Goliath, in 1 Samuel 17:45. I come to thee in the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You have God's promise now. Now tell that devil you come in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who defeated him for you at Calvary. And in that mighty name, command him to live in Jesus' name. Now, last scripture I got here. Constantly love the Lord. Now, no matter what condition you are in, what situation it is, and so on. And confess who the Lord Jesus Christ is to you. David was good at that. And the last scripture is this. I say, constantly love the Lord, right? And, assert whom the Lord Jesus Christ is to you. That is stated in Psalm 18, the first two verses. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. You see, you confess who he is, right? Your strength, your strength. The Lord is my rock, he said, and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, Father, we thank you this morning, in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are weapons of warfare, they are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pillar of strongholds. Thank you in John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall they do also, and greater works than this shall we do also. So as we just refresh our mind this morning, Bible says we should renew our minds in the mighty name of Jesus. The epistle of Peter said, even if you know these things, I will still put in remembrance by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. As we go this morning, let us go with all boldness. And not be ready, always making ourselves ready instantly to give that command of faith in all the situations that in accord with the will of God. In the almighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us have in our heart the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing shall be impossible unto us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Absolutely nothing shall be impossible unto us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And help us to use our right to get that command of faith as we seek the Lord to know that what we are commanding is in the absolute will of God. Father, we thank you this morning. We worship you. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Not even yet appear what we shall be, but we do know that when we see him, we shall be like him, but we shall see him as he is. Lord, we thank you and we worship you, Lord. Glory be to your holy name, Father. We commit our new week to your hand, Lord, just like David of old. Always say, I said the Lord, always before my face, at my right hand I shall not be moved. Even in our own dispensation, this evening, O God, we have more blessings. It's abiding in you by the Holy Ghost, in the name of the Lord. Help us to pay attention to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You shall hear a voice behind you or inside of you saying, here is the way, walk therein. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, we commit our work to your hands. The Lord cares about you and I and our work. He said in one place, commit thy works unto the Lord. so shall your thoughts be established. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Commit that way unto the Lord also. He shall bring it to pass. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we claim the promise of the Lord this morning. Father God, that the Lord will supply all our need. According to your riches in glory by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whatsoever we do shall prosper. Even like for the first son. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the Bible says we shall be like trees planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. Our leaves will not wither. Whatever we do shall prosper. Bible says the Lord will open unto us his good treasure in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Be it unto us, Lord, according to thy word. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' holy name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your patience.